Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to episode 99 of Double Hop Beat, where we take the pulse of the beer and brewing scene. I'm James, a home brewer and craft beer enthusiast, making my own sound effects.
And I'm Shannon, a beer intermediate. You're making those sound effects. It's almost Halloween, and we're almost at 100 episodes, James. This is 99.
This is scary, and I just don't know what to do with myself.
It must be the scariest thing in our marriage ever.
Oh my gosh.
The fact that we've done 99 regular episodes of this podcast and we're both still alive.
I was just about to say 99 problems or 99 drinks on the wall, but you know, we don't really have
99 episodes. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Yeah, happy Halloween for everybody, and hope you have some nice scary costumes. We're going to be posting on our Instagram some of our costumes that we've done in the past to maybe give you guys some ideas. You're never too young to indulge
costumes. Ever really scary?
No,
our costumes, but you know,
pretty good. We've come up with some pretty solid costumes in our day. You know, remember when I decided to make from scratch the Optimus Prime costume because we were very into make your own costumes, and you were giving me so much shit for just buying my costumes because I just wanted them to be like legit. And I did, and I didn't think about like function. And if you make things out of boxes and it looked really good, you know, you're not going to be able to indulge in some craft beers or home brews because you will be literally in a box.
Yeah, you had a hard time getting around, but that was then, and this is now.
This is now.
Yeah, so we'll share some of our costumes if anybody's looking for inspirations. And also, if you're looking for some scary Halloween throwback episodes, we've got a couple out there. As we have been at this for a few years now, we've got episodes 16, 42, and 62 are all of our previous Halloween episodes. So check out those for some brewery haunts, some spooky stories from us.
And I'm just channeling my inner ghost and just remembering that we did, like, we're so good with costumes that we won the Lost Shoe costume contest that year.
As Billy Butcherson and Winifred Sanderson.
Yeah, so we will post that picture as well on our Instagram. So make sure you check our Instagram page out if you don't already, and send your friends our way because we will be doing a trick or treat giveaway.
Oh, well, speaking of trick or treat, as you all know, we are in Massachusetts, which is home to the famous Salem, Mass. Witch trials and all that good haunting things. And we've shared our experiences in the past at East Regiment Brewing in Salem. So you can go check out one of our previous episodes to hear about that. But they also have some scary happenings taking place at their brewery since they are located probably on top of a graveyard.
Which if you listen to that episode, you will definitely hear our story on that and the craziness that flew off the wall while we were there. They didn't have any recent haunting stories or any customers saying that they had a similar experience to us recently, but they did have some very scary costumes come in. And they had a crew of about 13 pirates, a fist bumping Satan, and a goat girl come in.
What is that?
For their food truck and helped pour some beer for a while. So I'm very curious to hear what a goat girl is.
That must be
a new thing with all these youngsters out there.
I mean, the goat is associated with the devil, so maybe it's something to do with that. I'm not sure. But those are some scary costumes. I guess in Salem, it's too big.
Yeah,
expected.
Like I'd expect a lot of witches and, you know, like zombie costumes or a lot of like, especially now with the reboot of the Hocus Pocus, I would expect there to be a lot of those kind of costumes around. And for all those of you not in Massachusetts, don't go to Salem during this time unless you want to wait like 4 hours in traffic and not find parking. You want to go like a month before because you're still going to get that Halloween vibe. That's our tip and trick. And you won't have to, you can still go to all those nice restaurants, still support the town, but not be part of the frenzy. But they also, at East Regiment, their Reggae Pumps pumpkin beer has been flying off the shelves. Get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible. I'm just getting worse at these. I'm just giving you know, like, the joke away.
You're
before
trying.
I'm just not even trying.
It's rough
out
there.
I'm at the point of being a dad where just trying is just, you just do what you gotta do.
I haven't tried that one yet. We'll have to make a trip pre/post-Halloween 1 year to try it.
But yeah, always an interesting time in Salem, Massachusetts during this time of year.
Yeah, and speaking of pumpkin beers, We did our annual pumpkin beer batch for our Halloween party. This year I added more spice because last year I felt like there wasn't enough spice.
Crank it up. So Crank up the spice.
Doubled the spice and we'll see. It's done fermenting. We're going to put it onto carb and I'll see how it tastes once it's all ready to go. But I'm excited. And I talk about this. I know we've talked about our pumpkin beer in the past, but I wanted to share a tip that
we discovered.
Well, not necessarily a pumpkin beer tip, but just a tip in general, because we did this on the stove. So we're using the kettle. And the issue we were having is that we didn't have a grain bag that was the right size. We had ones that were too small and the one that was really big, the one that we usually use for our full-blown system. So we had to, you know, roll it up and kind of do a little MacGyvering with it. But we were concerned about the bottom of the bag sitting on the bottom of the kettle. And we didn't want it to burn like the last time I did a beer on the stove.
That was a ghost that did that.
Yeah. So I had bought over the summer a canning kit from Amazon. So we had a lot of cucumbers and I wanted to make pickles. So I bought a kit where you can sanitize the jars and everything. So I used the rack that comes with a canning kit and put that on the bottom of the kettle to keep the bag from sitting on the bottom of the pot. So I just wanted to pass that along. If anybody's looking for a way to keep their bag off of the bottom of the kettle and you don't have anything else but a canning rack.
Yeah. And we also used the clips. They're like little plastic clips that are like the metal with the little black piece that, I don't know if you kids out there were like me and would make little TIE fighters out of them in school and just like, you know, be like, pew, pew.
It's called a binder clip.
Yeah, binder clip. Okay, Shen. Okay, sure.
Well, I'm just, in case people aren't sure what you were describing, it's a binder clip.
I've never heard it called a binder clip, but sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you could use those as well to make sure you keep the grain bag up against the kettle and it secures it, so when you're adding the grains and you're able to still stir it up to make sure those grains get saturated in the water. So I think it worked out really well. We ended up doing a 2.5 gallon batch instead of our normal 5 for that, just to make use of the stovetop, a quick, easy. And that was a full brew in bag, so that was all grains used in that recipe. Unlike our previous batch, which used some of those liquid malts to cut down your grain bill, but we were able to still use, I think it was about 9 pounds total, maybe 8 pounds total of grains in that, and it still fit perfectly in our 5 gallon kettle. So that was awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to have it on tap along with my sour, which came out great.
Yeah, we have a lot of beers for our Halloween party coming up.
Yes.
And Star Wars theme, of course. We always do a theme. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be good. We have a pale ale that's going to be on, original recipe. We have that Hell's Lager that we're trying now, and it's just phenomenal. I think the head could be a little bit better on it, but it's tasting very good.
Very good.
It's not as dark, too, as I think the Apartment Brewer's recipe had. I'll have to go back and take a look at his pictures. But it worked flawlessly, and I'm just very impressed with a version one of a recipe that's this good.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, it might just be that I'm getting better at brewing. I don't know. It's, I'm just used to having the first versions having so much to tweak. And in this one, it's only very minor things that I think I would change. Mm-hmm. And I did do the water profile on this one as well, which was super easy to do. And I do think that did make a difference in this beer.
Yeah. And my sour, I had tasted it probably, 2 weeks ago about now. And it was very, very sour. Like, it had that sensation you get in the back of your mouth when you eat something sour, and it like creates a lot of saliva. And it's like, ugh. And so I was a little nervous that it wasn't going to be drinkable by a lot of people. But we let it sit longer, and when we went to go transfer it over, I tasted it again, and it had mellowed out. It wasn't as sharp of a sour taste, and it still has the sour zip to it, but it wasn't as overpowering. I think we had talked to Pratt about it, and they said it was an enamel ripping. Is that the term they use for their sours? And that's what it was prior to me letting it mellow out a little bit. So
This is the kind of sour that I would get behind. It's got just enough sour to it, but it's almost like a gummy worm sour, not the sour that literally you have one in your stomachs just turning as you're drinking it. So, I mean, I think it turned out really well. And I think it's also plays a part in that that raspberry puree settling mm-hmm. down to the bottom of the fermenter where we didn't pick that up in the keg.
Yeah.
Well,
so I hope everyone enjoys it.
I think everyone's going to enjoy our 6 beer tap list for this celebration.
They better.
Okay.
Okay.
If I see someone drinking some beers in cans that are not the home brews, I'll be a little disappointed.
Uh-oh.
But not really. Not really, to be honest. Honest feedback. I should probably put a feedback.
Oh yeah, that's
feedback,
a great
thing out there for they just circle a number from 1 to 10 on what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Terrible idea.
we'll maybe workshop that a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll workshop that.
Okay. We're going to jump into some Halloween related beer talk, but before we do that, I just wanted to remind everyone that we have merch out there.
Merch.
Yeah, so you can go to the link.
Beautiful merch.
So beautiful. You can go to the link tree on our Instagram to access the site, and there you can find podcast merch as well as our Brew Another Day initiative products. So the proceeds from those shirts and mugs are going towards the American Cancer Society, and supporting cancer research and helping find a cure is just a cause that's really close to our hearts, because a lot of our close family members and friends have either battled cancer or are currently battling cancer. So we just want to do a little bit of something to contribute towards helping to find a cure. So just want to remind everyone those are out there. So feel free to go to that link tree and check it out. And yeah, we really appreciate it.
And even if you don't buy one of the Brew Another Day initiative shirts or mugs, just sending your friends to our page in our Instagram or our link tree where they can go check out that merch. If you don't have the financial capability of purchasing merch, like, send them that link, and you know that will help support that as well. Word of mouth is worth its weight in gold. So anything you can do for your part of just sharing our podcast with your friends really does help.
Yeah, let me thank you all. Okay, with that being said, James, we're going to talk a little bit about beer. Well, this is not really a surprise.
Is this going to be like a witch's brew type thing where you're just going to go into witch talk?
A witch talk? No. No, this is just something that I ran across that's been kind of, I've seen a lot of articles recently about how allegedly witchcraft is based around women brewers and how the allegations of them being witches ran them out of the industry in, you know, the early, you know, 15, 16, 1700s. So I just wanted to kind of briefly touch on it. I thought it was very interesting how there are some coincidences between women brewers in that time period and witches. Although I will say up top, there is other iconography that is associated with witches that does not come from women brewers. So I am not saying that women brewers are the reason that witches are depicted the way they are now. There's many, many other sources. This is just coincidences that are happening.
Disclaimer before she goes into whatever she's about to
These
go
are just
into.
Yeah, just coincidences that I thought were interesting when I was reading the article. So women used to brew beer and other fermented drinks that were part of the household chores. So they were kind of in charge of it because that was just part of their duties. As we've talked about in the past, water was not great to drink, so people drank beer and mead and things like that. So they would pass their recipes down from generation to generation, which could be similar to spell books. You know, got to pass those recipes.
Shannon's got the hand out to the side, like she's got a spell book in her hand, like, you know?
Yeah. They were also called alewives at the time, and they would sell their beer in the markets. And because, you know, traditionally women are shorter stature, maybe not as loud as men, they needed to find a way that really made them stand out so people could see where they were located. So they would wear big, tall hats, similar to pointy witch hats. And then they would beer their brew in big cauldrons and transport them that way. They would keep cats around in order to keep mice out of their grain stores and all their malts. And then they would stick stakes in the ground outside their house and tie a ribbon on them to let people know they had beer or ale for sale. And people were like, oh, those are like broomsticks, a.k.a. you're a witch. So there's been a lot of talk about how there was a smear campaign and men were like, we don't want them dominating the industry anymore, so we're going to tell everyone they're witches and they're poisoning you with their beer. And so that may have happened in some locations. But really what people believe is that just the times are changing after the Reformation. Gender norms were shifting and just the nature of the work and women's expectations changed, and therefore men took over the industry and really became more prominent than the women in that. So I just thought it was super interesting that there were so many kind of coincidences in how people can take, you know, one concept and run with it and be like, oh, men said women were witches, so now they can't brew beer, when it wasn't true. So I just thought that was super interesting. And maybe I would share with everyone because you all love a good history lesson.
And I'm actually going to take the point of view that I think Shannon's going to be shocked at. What? Is that 100% of men saw this as a financial opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And a stature within the community to take advantage of this. And, you know, they were putting all this pressure on the women during the time to have the house ready, have the kids, do everything. And then on top of that, one of their daily responsibilities was brewing beer, which was the beverage of the time, of just your everyday table drink that you would have. And they saw this as an opportunity of, oh, wait, we can capitalize on this and make lots of money and pursue our own political gains and everything else. And, you know, then there you go.
Yeah.
Now so, it's completely flipped. But I think the good thing with all that said and done of what may have happened, what did happen, is now women are getting into the brewing industry more than ever.
I think I'm going to start wearing pointy hats. And
don't you already? Don't you already do laps around our house with the broomstick at night when, you know, our daughter's sleeping?
Yeah.
I think so. I think I've caught you a couple times.
I'm going to put a stake outside our house with a ribbon on it so everyone knows that we have beer for sale.
But not in the state of Massachusetts, because you can't do that unless you have a license.
Yeah, that's true. I won't really do that. But so just to kind of wrap up, if you're into witches and want to learn more, because I know you all are.
all into witches because you listen to our podcast.
I just want to say that I did read a couple articles and I have them. I'll put them in the show notes. But if you are interested to read more about that, there's a great article by historian and archaeologist Christina Wade. And I'll put that in the show notes. And that's my rant on witches and brewing. Beer and women.
You want to talk witches and brewing? DM us on our Instagram at Double Hoppy Podcast. Make sure you dedicate it to Shannon. And we'll make sure she gets them.
Yeah. Okay. So also, if any of our listeners are looking to go international, I found in my ramblings on the internet.
Your ramblings?
Yeah, my ramblings. That there is a brewery in Brazil called Haunted Brewing. And it's in Sao Paulo, and they make beers that are inspired by the universe of horror and occultism. So I thought that was really interesting. So I was curious to see, I'm like, does anybody make, like, solely make just creepy or, like, Halloween-y type beers? And so they've got a couple. They have one that's called Dead Before Dawn, Here's Johnny. Bet you can guess what movie that's from or what book. And they're coming for you, Barbara.
I was just waiting for you to
come in to get you, Barbara. So I thought that was interesting. If you're going to Brazil, you should make sure to check them out. They have a good rating on Untappd. So, James, we're not going to go into that.
Don't get me on Untappd, but sure. I'm glad they have good ratings. That's good to know.
Yes.
And again, with Halloween literally right at our doorstep, ding dong. Hope you have your candy. And your beer for the over 21 folks. It can be a lot of commercialism right now with Halloween and gotta buy candy. And then, ooh, beer pairings with candy. Ooh, have you tried this beer that's made with candy? Is it really candy? Or is it something that tastes like candy that's not candy?
Yeah. I also had this thought, James, because I was like, oh, could you just use leftover Halloween candy in your beer and make something out of it? So then I started doing some research, and
cue the scary music. Shannon's doing research.
Ooh. And it can be tough to use Halloween candy in your beers because there's a lot of sugar and fats in the candy. Like, we all know that's why you shouldn't eat so much candy, but the sugars are basically just going to ferment out and not really add anything. And then the oils can cause your head to have can cause there to be no head retention in your beer.
What were you gonna say? You can cause your head to fall off.
Can cause your head to have no head
and be Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, you could just be a Sleepy Hollow of beers and not have a head. So,
and this is, I'm actually glad that Shannon researched this, because it's one of those things where I think I thought about it many times. And then I did my own research and I was like, and actually had a fellow brewer who actually just dumped a whole bunch of candy in his, a certain type of candy in his beer, and expected it to turn out, you know, like what you see on a craft brewery menu of, you know, a peanut butter Reese's stout. And, you know, he expected it to turn out like how theirs was. And he was just shocked to find out how it didn't turn out at all drinkable.
Yeah. So, but you can create beers that taste like Halloween candy without having the actual candy in the beer. So as you're saying, like a peanut butter cup stout, you can use PB2, the protein, like the powdered peanut butter, and put that in a stout that could mimic a Reese's peanut butter cup, which I really like. I wish I liked stouts because I really love peanut butter cups. And I just wish I liked stouts more.
You just haven't found the stout that for nope, you
I haven't
yet.
Found the stout for me. Okay, I'm on the hunt. I'm going to get on those apps and just like find the stout with the, for me.
What was it? The sour and then the other kind of beer that you like that I'm just like, I can't get into it. I just can't.
We just don't have the same taste in beers. You could also, if you're really adventurous and want to put out a controversial beer, make it taste like candy corn with marshmallow and vanilla. So make a cream ale and add the flavoring of marshmallow and vanilla, and you too can drink candy corn.
That sounds disgusting. I don't eat candy corns. I think they're disgusting. It just, no thank you.
Yeah, there's a brewery that did put one out, and they said it's very the hot topic of conversation.
It's a
love or hate relationship.
It's like a pickle beer. Like it's like a topic conversation of,
yeah,
like a pickle martini. Like who wants a pickle martini? I mean, they order it and pickles. It's hot on Instagram, but it's not that great.
James is on the pickle martini Instagrams. You can also make a sour beer and use fruits to flavor it. That's kind of like a gummy worm, which is how you were describing my beer. So I guess I have accomplished this already. Go me.
And you could use it as a garnish. You just hang it off the side of the glass.
I was thinking about maybe getting some like flavored sugar to like do on the rim or something, but I think it's good the way it is now. And then lastly, you could put licorice flavoring in a stout, and that is like a Good and Plenty, which again, I love Good and Plenty, so I wish I liked stout. I'm really torn over here, James. It's like an existential crisis.
You've just brushed the surface of this whole premise, and it's great to see, because I think you're going to dig into it a little bit deeper, and then you're going to make a beer for next Halloween off of what you've learned.
Okay, maybe that's a challenge. I will do some more investigating and decide what flavor combination. I will do research this Halloween and eat a lot of Halloween candy, and then tell you which candy is my favorite.
Oh, I've already dipped into our Halloween candy.
You were
stash.
Rustling around in there, and I was like, is that a Kit Kat?
I broke that bag open like it just was something.
We're not going to have any left by the time the trick-or-treaters arrive.
You don't have that many trick-or-treaters nowadays. Everyone just stays home. It's send your kids out trick-or-treating, folks.
Come to our house as a strange person. Come home and get candy.
And get candy from strangers. Yeah. It's the thing to do in 2023.
It's the new fad.
The one thing that you had touched on, that you can't brew a beer with actual candy. That's not necessarily
true.
Well,
not that you can't. Ones are like, you can't just dump a bunch of candy. You have to do it right, and it has to be certain
types
of candy.
You have to account. You have to really research what's in that candy. So, like you said, candy corns. You get the sugar. You get some of those fats and everything else that's in there. You just have to make sure you look at the ingredients very closely and then adjust your grain bill accordingly. So something that might have high sugars, you want to maybe decrease what your grain bill is going to be, so those sugars will offset instead of being overpoweringly with that sugar. And sometimes that sugar you want to boil down to ahead of time. So those candies you'd probably want to boil down in water before you add that in. Otherwise the yeast won't be able to consume that sugar. It will just end up being off flavors in your beer.
But I feel like that's more of like hard candies. Like, are you going to boil down a Milky Way bar? That just sounds like a mess.
It just sounds like blasphemy because you just want to eat it.
So like really, it's mostly like if you have like the cinnamon candies, the hard candies, those are good.
Oh, those are good. She's pointing at me like, those are good. Doing the little hand gesture.
That
those
I would
good.
Melt down
that
and put in a beer.
That is so good. Shannon's doing like the little like, that's so fine motion. Well, that's a great segue to my little game for you of trick or treat, Shannon.
A game?
Okay. Trick or treat. So how this game's going to work is I'm going to give a beer style and a candy to Shannon, and she's going to tell me whether it would be a trick, meaning that those would not go to good.
Oh, God.
That those would not go well together, and that would be a bad pairing, or treat, where that would be a great pairing, and that would be something that could pull off, okay. And they would, and we'll see where we are.
Okay.
So the first beer style up is an IPA. This is a traditional IPA, mm-hmm. and you are going to pair that with a sour gummy worm. Is that a trick or is that a treat?
A sour gummy worm?
Sour gummy worm.
Wait, so trick is good. I mean, trick is bad and treat is good?
Trick means that they wouldn't work together. Okay. And again, this is all personal preference as well, because someone might find something very tasty and someone else might not.
I would say it could be a treat because, like, I mean, I feel like I've had a sour IPA before. And gummy worms are fruity, and I like fruity IPAs, like milkshake IPAs, Dunes of the Cape. Like, if that was a little bit sour, that'd be like a sour gummy IPA. So I think it'd be a treat for me.
Ding, ding, ding. Verdict, treat. So just as Shannon talked about IPAs, they have those tropical flavors of pineapple, mango, papaya, sometimes passion fruit in those. So like Shannon was saying, like that fruitiness you can match with a candy that has that similar makeup. Basically, you're breaking it down to the components, and that's a great complement to each other because they both have those nice tropical fruit flavors. Another thing you could actually pair with your IPA is cinnamon candies.
Oh, see?
And that seems like it's contrasting, but the heat of the cinnamon would actually help enhance the flavor of the IPA as long as it's your traditional IPA and not an overly fruited IPA.
And I like spicy drinks, so I would also, I feel like that. Like that jalapeno tequila we had like at Bar Harbor.
Jalapeno.
I think it was jalapeno tequila it was disgusting.
It looked like hot sauce. It looked like hot sauce. Couldn't do it.
It was good. But anyways, okay, what's my next one?
All right, next one. A nice stout with Almond Joy. Trick or treat?
Treat. Because we have made a toasted... Was it a stout?
No, it was a porter.
Okay, well...
It was a coconut porter.
I guess porters and stouts are similar. They're in the family. So we made a toasted coconut porter and that worked well. And you know, chocolate, stout, coconut, it's basically an Almond Joy in a beer.
Yeah. Again,
I think it would go well.
So ding, ding, ding. This is a treat.
On a roll.
So again, these are little softball ones too. Oh, so God. Keep that in mind.
Softballs.
And again, so with stouts, the toasted barley and the chocolate malts used in the stouts really help complement the chocolate, dark chocolate, the mint, and the coconut within the Almond Joy. So this is also one of those...
Wait, did you say there's mint in Almond Joy?
No, I'm saying you can put mint as well.
You just said that. I was like, what Almond Joys are you eating that there's mint in them?
And this could really complement the Almond Joys with the dark chocolate and the coconut flavors to balance with the stout. So this is, again, another like-for-like scenario where the craft beer style and the candy both elevate each other, not contrasting.
You just want to make me feel smart off the bat, and then you're going to rip me down.
We'll see.
Tear me down.
All right, next one up. Marzen and candy corn, one of Shannon's favorite treats. Mm-hmm. Is this a trick or is this a treat?
I don't know. I feel like this is... I might have to say treat for everything. I don't know. Like, I like candy corn, so I...
Trick or treat, trick or treat.
I'm going to say trick because they've both been treats before this. I'm going test logic.
And
okay.
Also treat. One of the great
things. It's all going to be treats.
One of the great things with the Marzen that pairs really well with a tart candy and that sweetness that we talked about a little bit earlier with the candy corns really helps elevate the Marzen, the maltiness in the Marzen or an Oktoberfest kind of beer. So it really helps elevate that beer, and it doesn't take away because it's got such a malty backbone to it that it balances out that overpoweringly sweetness that you get in a candy corn, which I would never do this pairing, by the way, because I don't like candy corns.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a road some people travel.
All right, we're down to the last two.
Oh, God.
She's 2-for-1.
Mm. Just like the Patriots.
Ugh.
In our division.
Don't even bring them up. Amber ale and milk duds. Is this a trick or a treat?
All right, I got distracted by your laughing. I'm going to say it's a treat because amber ales are malty or can be malty, and milk duds are malted milk balls. And so it would pair well together. I don't know. That's my brain.
All right, so you are correct. Treat, ding, ding, ding.
But not for why I said it was a treat.
You're close. I mean, amber ales, I wouldn't say they have dark malts in it, but they're crystal malts that are in there.
Well, I didn't say it was a dark malt. Okay. I said there's malt flavoring. And the candy is a milk dud. Oh, wait, shoot, not a Whopper.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were describing a Whopper, so that's where I was like, you're not close. But you still got it correct. But the crystal malts within the amber ale to the milk chocolate of the milk duds actually complement each other well. And you'll have a slight dry bitterness at the end of that beer, which actually helps the flavor of the milk duds. So this one you might say could be a trick because it's going to enhance the milk duds versus the amber ale. But I think it, in my preference, when I've had this combination, I think it helps the amber ale more than the milk duds.
I'm prejudiced against milk duds because one time a milk dud ripped the filling out of my tooth. So,
well, bad teeth.
I don't talk anyways, to milk duds anymore.
The caramel flavor would also help bring out that amber ale a little bit better. It's going to add to that amber ale, in my opinion, the caramel that you'll get from a milk dud. All right, last one, Shannon. For all the money.
Oh, God.
A Belgian quad and fireballs. Trick or treat. So, you know, those little balls of heat that you get in your... I used to get as a kid, and I'd be like, who's giving out... It's the same as the caramel candies, where it's the little squares, and it's like, come on, you're giving those. And it's like, you can't eat those.
I mean, have you not been listening to me for the past half an hour? I mean, I love cinnamon candies. So... Treat
what
for
about
me.
What about the little caramel squares? Well, that's why you have bad teeth. There you go.
Why? Who doesn't like caramel squares?
All the dentists listening to Double Hoppy Podcast are agreeing with me right now.
It is a treat.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay,
treats.
They were all treats.
I tricked you. They were all treats. And again, the Belgian quad with this kind of style beer, the dark fruits and the earthiness that comes out with the greens, you... really do have that nice balance to the fireballs, which will give you that cinnamony, very spicy notes, which is actually brought out in the complexity of the yeast that you would use in a Belgian quad. So the yeast in a Belgian quad gives you those spicy notes. So that's where you're kind of complementing the fireball. But then because the Belgian quad has these dark fruit and earthy tones to it, you're going to enhance that fruitiness. You're going to get a little bit of cinnamon spice at the end. So it's going to be a really interesting and kind of funky pairing that I necessarily wouldn't have thought to put together, but they work really well because they have contrast flavors that elevate both of them. And this comes down to my top three considerations when you're going to do a candy and beer style pairing.
Okay.
One is like for like. So breaking it down to the components. Mm-hmm. So you look at really what's in its characteristics. Is it have, you know, a flavor of biscuit? Is it have chocolate malts? Is it sweet, overly sweet? Those kind of flavors in the beer. And then as far as the candy, does it have wafers? So it's going to have a biscuity.
Like a Kit Kat.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to have that biscuity flavor. Or is it going to have, you know, in a Belgian wheat such as Allagash White, where you're going to have that orange peel and a little bit of breadiness, that could really complement something that has chocolate in it, like the Kit Kat that you were just talking about. So that would also be in the kind of contrast flavors that elevate both. And then thirdly, you could gauge by intensity. So if something's overly powerful in sweetness, you want to counteract that with intensity of something that's not sweet to kind of counteract that sweetness. So we were saying those malty backbone beers will really counteract those overly sweet candies. And again, if you're going to brew with the candy itself, you have to take that consideration when you're building your recipe And I mean, small amounts might not make a big difference, but you're not going to get those flavors that you get in the craft breweries, where a lot of times, as Shannon mentioned earlier in the episode, they're breaking it down to the components, and they're mm-hmm. finding ingredients that match those the kind flavor of flavors mm-hmm. that you'll get in the candy without all those extras that come in candy.
Yeah. So if you're all looking to do a candy beer pairing, there you go.
Supporting the candy industry.
Indulge yourselves in candy and beer.
It's the two healthiest things. They're hot sells, so there you go.
Thanks, James, for educating me.
You educated yourself, Shannon.
I'm so smart.
I'm not even here right now. This is a ghost talking in the microphone.
Well, we're going to go eat some more Kit Kats. And
yes, because I broke into that bag already.
He did.
And Twix.
So we want to thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Double Hop Beat. If you are a home brewer who wants to come on and share your story, send us a direct message on Instagram.
And please remember to follow us on our Instagram. And please remember to check out our merch.
Merch. Again, the link tree is on our Instagram at Double Hop Beat Podcast. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. That really helps us get new listeners. And we appreciate it. This has been Double Hop Beat. Catch you on the brew side.
Trick or treat.
We're coming to get you, Barbara.